The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you, as always, by 1-900 Wrestling's Patreon page, patreon.com/1900wrestling. We are almost at the point where if we sustain it until WrestleMania, Dills will indeed be able to go and won't be crying in the parking lot. Imagine what a sad sight it would be if we only fell a few dollars short and Dills, instead of enjoying floor seats to WrestleMania, was instead outside soaking the Citrus Bowl parking lot with his tears. You, my friends, can make sure that this does not happen by supporting the best wrestling show on the internet, as well as getting access for yourself to our patron-only Discord. That is where you can talk wrestling any old day of the week, you know, and especially great during pay-per-views, Raws, SmackDowns. Be a part of it. Patreon.com/1900wrestling. But enough of talking about how we do the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking. And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this, prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.
Oh, damn, son. Welcome to yet another edition of 1-900 Wrestling, the best wrestling show ever. My name is Justin Robert Young, joining me as always from Austin, Texas. He's got a Hearthstone background right now, but he is all pro wrestling.
Worlds are colliding, Justin. Worlds are colliding right now.
He is hailing from the mean streets of Gadgetzan. Willie Tools Gregory.
By the way, normally I'm at the indie promotion, but today it was storming. I had a tornado warning last night, and everything's just all up in the air. It's just craziness here in Austin, Texas. That was my first fit. Like, my phone buzzed like it was an Amber Alert,
yeah.
But it was a tornado warning.
Oh Jesus!
And I was like, oh, that's okay. I guess what am I supposed to do now? Like, nobody told me.
Because you previous to coming to Austin, you were a lifelong Bay Area resident.
I was a lifelong San Francisco guy, and everybody talks about, well, aren't you scared of the earthquakes? No, I'm not scared of the earthquakes. They happen every 100 years or so. You get like a whatever. Tornadoes, though, that could just happen at any moment. I mean, nobody told me about this. I went out. I was out all day Sunday.
Yeah.
Then I come home and tornadoes, apparently.
Next thing you know, man, you're going to get swept up in a derecho.
The Texas tornado. That's right. It's a finishing move here in Texas.
Indeed. But, yeah. Off the top rope DDT. welcome, everybody. Now, one of the things that we don't like to do on this show is obsess constantly with everything that happened on the last episode of SmackDown, Raw. What happened?
Sure.
But we've kind of got to do a little recap because
this stuff.
Because a week ago, we are 1 week removed from maybe one of the best, like, what is it? It was two full segments. The Festival of Friendship.
Oh God, dude. Well, yeah, we can't not talk about the Festival of Friendship, obviously, because that was, and I think my tweet was. Because the season premiere of The Walking Dead this season is maybe the only episode of that show that I will never rewatch. Okay. And I think the last episode of Raw is the only episode of Raw I will never rewatch.
Too
I
painful.
Just can't live through
Too
that
painful.
Pain again, man.
I mean, what can be said about this that hasn't already been said a million times? Chris Jericho's best segment ever? Question mark?
Maybe. I mean, obviously, the original list of Jericho is up there, right?
The armbar.
Cut to commercial and come back, and he's still saying armbar.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fantastic stuff. But here you had him coming out with Showgirls. He's got the stupid hat on. He's dancing down to the ring. And what was great about the whole thing was just, like, they both played it perfectly.
Yeah.
Kevin just being kind of annoyed. And I think we've all, I don't know, everybody's had a friend in their life who's like
just gotten a little too
like,
yeah.
You're more their friend than they are your friend, right? Like you you like them. They're okay. They're all right. But they're just a little too excited when you're hanging out with them. And it just, like, was screaming that vibe so perfectly. It was great. I really do think, like, Jericho sold everything in that segment perfectly.
I mean, it was brilliant. There's really no other way to put it. It was kind of perfection, right down to him doing the, like, you're going to get, and then the dramatic pause throughout the entire commercial break, and he comes back to it. What I think was great about it, and really made it such a modern sort of twist on, you know, that kind of comedy segment, and really grounded it to the point where this very Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote cartoon ending wound up landing with so much emotion with the whole list of KO. Was that? Did you listen to his live show, his live talk as Jericho with Kevin Owens?
No, I did not actually.
Worth listening to, and they get into a little.
When did
bit.
That go up? Was that before or after this segment?
Before. They recorded that at Survivor Series.
Okay.
And then just released it as a
this
podcast.
This is fairly old then.
Two weeks ago. Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago. But what's amazing is that if you listen to that, a lot of what Jericho said at the very, very end of that segment about how this is one of the favorite things he's
had
in
his real
career,
yeah, right?
Yeah, the favorite year that he's had, that they've really gotten along together, that they have a tremendous chemistry, that it's rare this late in someone's career to kind of find that with a newer performer. Like, there was that one moment where all of a sudden it went from this bizarre, homoerotic, you know, kind of cartoon to something that was very real, and not only read real on the segment, but also I think in the arena, and it just made that inevitable betrayal,
yeah,
so much more affecting. You know, it was just kind of exquisite.
Well, yeah, you suddenly had this kind of like tearful eye moment where he was definitely, I mean, you could tell he was out of character. The way he was talking changed.
Yeah.
And he just became, you know, Chris.
Became a guy.
And, Jericho. Yeah. And it was fantastic. And I will say, like, I think we all kind of knew what was coming, but there were moments when I thought, maybe I'm getting swerved back. Like, maybe they've got me thinking for sure this is about to happen and it's not going to happen. And then when it finally did happen, it was brutal and awesome at the same time, right? Because it was Kevin Owens going back to kind of NXT and early call-up Kevin Owens.
Big sociopath,
exactly.
Kevin Owens. When he just does that big sociopathic inhale, like after hitting the ring apron power bomb, and he's just like, oh, it's like this, like it's great. Like it just feels like a murderer. Like he's just like drawing this primal power.
He had a rush of just adrenaline or whatever. That he's just kind of okay. Now it's gone. I'm back. Like just had to inhale and exhale one time. All right, continue with the assault. It was really well done. And I'll say this too. What was kind of cool about their entire run before this point, which I think was also somewhat rare, is that you don't often see guys get paired together and not just be a tag team.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's like a tag team breakup. They both essentially had solo runs, singles runs, but as best friends.
Yeah.
And kind of just all of their together stuff wasn't a bunch of tag teams that there was no reason for them to like continue being a tag team.
No, they did Jericho at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Right?
But they did maybe like 5 tag matches.
No, otherwise
like
it was just them
year,
interfering
right?
in each other's matches. Like it was this great little pairing of the two of them. And at the end
of this,
it was
like outside of the normal what you like you normally see in wrestling. You know, this is how it works. Is we're gonna put these two strange bedfellows together in a tag team, and then eventually they can't work together and they break up. Right? That's just like. That's how it's always worked. And this was kind of new and refreshing and interesting, was to just have these guys be like, and then we had, they teased the breakup, you know, so many times, so well. Still the like, you know, saying unanimously, like, Roman Reigns is the problem. Like, that's still one of my favorite moments of the last year. And, it couldn't have been any better, dude. It was great. And, but apparently, Mitsula, who was there, because it was in Las Vegas. Apparently, all of the signs he brought, and I think one of them was a Diamond Club Dills to Mania sign, did make it onto
the Festival of Friendship. Yeah, it's a little washed out in the back.
I'm going to have to, like, I don't want to go back and watch the Festival of Friendship again, but I guess I'm going to have to.
Guess you're going
to have to. I'm going to have to break my heart one more time, but I'll just pay attention to the signs in the back this time.
And here's the only one other thing that I want to just acknowledge, because everybody seems to get real fired up about it, but right now you have Chris Jericho as an absolute white meat babyface. Everyone's going to love him when he comes out next, right? And Kevin Owens, who has gotten a lot of cheers, even though he is a fairly despicable heel champion, now will be booed out of the building the next time when he shows up on Raw tonight. Like,
yeah, these are true. This is a true babyface heel now. Like, you know what's really cool is Jericho can now be babyface with the list and the scarf and, like, you know,
everything.
When he was face, when he first, like, kind of returned after, you know, Fozzy tour and whatever, he was just kind of trunks and nothing and whatever. And then, of course, you know, turning on Styles is what he, like, started bringing back, like the scarf and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
He was face all the way up until then, so.
Just great work, man. I mean, there's really nothing else to say other than, like, that Raw, which the previous 2 hours were good, you know, weren't the best. But, man, that third hour, absolutely nuclear. And part of it is another great women's championship main event. This one goes the way of Bayley. Bayley, your new women's champion. The girlhood dream has been achieved.
They really, really don't want Charlotte to ever lose on a pay-per-view, clearly. They want to milk this streak thing, but they still want to give. They still want to, like, give Bayley the title here, I think. It's kind of interesting to watch. And actually, there was a post on Squared Circle about this. Asuka apparently is now butting up against Goldberg levels of streak down there as well. And it's not even being talked about. But it'll be interesting to see if she kind of makes her presence felt now pretty soon. And then maybe you've got, like, the immovable object, you know, of Asuka. And then, you know, Charlotte, and they go up against each other in a pay-per-view or something like that.
Well,
so,
you gotta figure that either Charlotte gets the title back at Fastlane, or, I mean, because what I think is happening is that now what they want to build up is that the pay-per-view streak is bigger than the title.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And that now, even if Bayley goes into WrestleMania as the champion, it's going to be a big thing that she retains because she can break the pay-per-view streak. And I've got a theory on this.
All right,
we'll see what happens at WrestleMania. But they are very meticulous about how they build that WrestleMania card, right?
Sure.
And you don't want too many of the exact same endings. So let's say you are building up for somebody to dramatically win a title, or there's going to be moments where people dramatically win championships, you want a few babyface champion comes in and retains, and the best way to do that is to have Bayley break Charlotte's pay-per-view streak.
Oh, yeah, breaking the streak at WrestleMania, because they can talk all about how she's missed pay-per-view and all that kind of stuff.
And she can still basically, like, you know, Charlotte can walk in saying, oh, well, come on, you're garbage. Obviously, I'm going to win at this pay-per-view. This is going to be, a walk in the park. Bayley retains. It can be a good time for everybody. So the match was great, though. The match was fantastic.
It was really good. It was actually, like, because the first time they did the women as the main event thing, right, I felt like the match was pretty good, but it was kind of like the big star of it was just that it was the main event in a way. And this, to me, just felt like, well, this was just the biggest match of the night. Like, this was just, as far as implications go and as far as names go,
yeah,
it doesn't matter that they're the women's division. These are just, like, there's more going on in this storyline.
This is the
more
biggest
going
fight
on
that we can make
as far as
tonight.
What's at stake, right? Yeah. And it deserves to be. Because, you know, it's not going to be Roman Reigns versus Luke Gallows and Anderson, right? That's not going to be the main event.
Yeah.
By the way, And I know we're not going into all of the stuff for the entire card of Raw.
Yeah.
But it was really it's now it's very obvious that WWE understands what Roman Reigns is good for, right? Which is tease that he's going to go over.
Yes.
And make everybody pissed. And it's just like they keep reinforcing that they know this. Like to put him in a handicap match against Gallows and Anderson, the champs now, right? Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, he's just going to go over both of these guys now. We're just going to show you how strong he is because he can beat the entire tag team champs by himself.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, no, that's not actually going to happen. They're just going to be scrapped
out of
them.
As they didn't have to eat the pin, I was excited with anything that didn't involve them eating the pin. So I was excited about that match because it ended in just a DQ.
It was the right thing to do. The Gallows and Anderson played the heel role perfectly there, and we'll see. I'm interested to see where they go as far as the I'm with you, man. I want to see Raw versus SmackDown.
I would love that. Yeah, just a good. Yeah, just a little bragging rights thing at WrestleMania. That'd be super fun.
Speaking of Bo SmackDown, Dallas nuclear heat for tearing up the ice cream recipe. All right, that's all you really need to know from Raw.
speaking of SmackDown, Bray Wyatt apparently at the insistence of John Cena.
I know. This is great to hear, by the way.
If you were to believe X-Pac, former X-Pac Sean Waltman.
I mean, X-Pac knows everything that's going on behind the scenes, right?
I mean, apparently he was behind the scenes. That show was in Anaheim, so he lives in L.A. Or I guess he was visiting L.A. Maybe he's, I don't know. I don't know where X-Pac lives.
This week on Where is X-Pac?
I think he lives in Philly. I wound up sending him. Did I ever tell you that he contacted me via DM about the contender?
What?
Yeah. No, within a week.
That seems very outside of his universe, but all right.
No, he's very politically plugged in and apparently knows a bunch of Fox News personalities, but really liked the contender Kickstarter video. Within a week, I literally got contacted by Billy Gunn and X-Pac. Billy Gunn for my Ass Man thing that I did at Nerdtacular, and X-Pac about the contender. I was soaked in late 90s DX. Yeah.
So every boy's dream to get contacted by X-Pac.
Oh, geez,
Billy Gunn.
Come on. I was in my heaven. But yeah, so according to X-Pac, John Cena very insistent that Bray Wyatt get the pin on the face that runs the place to officially cement the era of Wyatt. And of course, In SmackDown tradition, a great little ending to the show. Randy Orton, the Viper, the Sneck, comes on out and says, "I am the servant. You are the master. I am relinquishing my shot at the title for WrestleMania," leading up to a battle royal this week to see who gets it. Here's my question to you. Are they really going to do a triple threat?
Who are you putting in the match if it's a triple threat?
Luke, Bray.
You really think it's going to be the entire? Okay, so I don't know, man. I think we're just seeing a little bit of a will they or won't they kind of moment here as we end up still getting Orton Bray Wyatt. I think this is just. This is like the beginning of that storyline, right? This is when in a rom-com, like nobody's just like telling each other what's going on, and you know they're just like finding it's that moment where you're like, I can't believe that they're just gonna not do it. That is like kind of this moment here, and what's gonna happen is he's devoting himself to him. They'll have a whole stink about who he's gonna face, who's the number one contender, or something like that, or maybe even some sort of thing where they want to like find out who the number one contender is, and Orton just like wins that again, and it's just like clearly the guy who's supposed to face him for the
title.
He's
gonna give up a shot and then come in again and win it again.
Well, they're gonna give somebody a chance to take away his Royal Rumble victory chance, right? And then he just like wins that again. You end up with some sort of like Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader thing. Where he like won't kill him, but then he has to. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could go with this at this point.
Hey, by the way, breaking news right now. Apparently, when we record this is when the WWE likes to launch their Hall of Fame updates. This Hall of Fame going in, it's DDP. Cue up your pod safe versions of Smells Like Teen Spirit, because Diamond Dallas Page is going into the Hall of Fame.
Bang. I mean, if nothing else, if he didn't have a fantastic career, he saved several wrestlers' lives after his career, right, was over. So
that's certainly, certainly part of the mythology at this point, right? Like he is a huge part of that. And
yeah, like Jake the Snake would be dead now, right, if it wasn't for DDP. So I actually had a buddy in Oakland. He lives in Oakland, who busted his knee up.
Uh-huh.
Had to get surgery and started DDP yoga and swears by it that it fixed him and made his golf game better all at the same time.
Really?
Yeah.
I tell you what, man. Everybody's all up on the DDP yoga.
Give it a shot, man. We should do some DDP yoga.
We should.
And see, and then come on this show and talk about how well it did for us, our experiences with it.
Let me ask you this. Were you ever a big DDP guy?
I like I mean, who doesn't like the Diamond Cutter, right?
Sure.
I mean, yeah. And you know, holding your hand above your head in the shape of a diamond, it was just one of those things when we were as a kid. Because I think when I was the most into wrestling was at the height of, you know, WCW versus WWE, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of like my moment where wrestling, like, I actually cared and watched every Monday. I flipped back and forth. I had to actually get up and walk to the TV to change the channel, but I did it because I had to find out what was going on each show. DDP was freaking awesome. Coming out in jeans. just tearing people. He was like the Dean Ambrose back then, right? Coming out in his jeans and hitting the Diamond Cutter out of nowhere.
I loved DDP. And really, I think probably his biggest legacy of why he was able to have the career that he has was he's just kind of an operator, right? He was the only guy that in a legendarily fractious backstage of WCW, where you had a lot of guys that had a lot of power over their own character, and they would say when they were going to do, you know, one thing or another. He was like the only guy that got along with everybody.
He was the guy who was like, I'm lucky to be here, man. We're all freaking lucky to be here doing this, you know? And yeah, he was like the original lucky to be here guy. He was just happy to, and he didn't have a bunch of title runs, did he?
He got the title in WCW. And then got buried when he came to WWE as like the Undertaker stalker. But other than that, no, he did. I mean, he did very, very well for himself in WCW. Rode that train until it hit its final stop. So good for DDP. And he allegedly wife swapped with Eric Bischoff. So there's also that. Let's go ahead and get into our bit for tonight. What we want to do is ask an age old question, right, Willie?
Well, here's the thing. I think that, and this didn't originate from us. I didn't come up with this idea all on my own in a vacuum. This was inspired by reading some Squared Circle stuff. And recently there's been two posts kind of posing this question in different ways. But what I think we can do that our Squared Circle doesn't seem to do, and a lot of people who are wrestling fans don't seem to do, is we can take it one step further.
Sure.
And we could take the world of wrestling and rip it out and put it into the real world and apply wrestling tactics and tropes and bring those into our reality for people who are outside of wrestling. And I think that's when wrestling really shines. When the other night I was playing with my dog and I gave him a Stone Cold Stunner. And I was like, sure. See? And he loved it. You know, he was like, oh, my God, that was the best. Okay, let's do that again. And I was like, this is perfect. Wrestling is now helping me connect with my pet. So, like, when you take wrestling and apply it to the real world.
And apply it to the real world. Please do not send your emails. That was playful puppying.
Yes, don't worry. My dog is fine. He's right here.
And by the way, he sold it like a champ.
He's a good worker.
He sold it like a champ. Yeah, no, he looked great. Oh, yeah. None of that Linda McMahon bullshit. Nope. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to play our game, which is called... Who's the Who's the Jannetty?
Who? All right, let's do it.
Bert and Ernie. Who's the Jannetty?
Bert and Ernie. See, okay. Now, we got a lot of people in here who are real people. Bert and Ernie, obviously puppets.
Yeah.
I also want to point out there's some major criteria you can look at here if you're worried about where to start.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out who the Jannetty is. Because I think most people default to who's going to go on to fail miserably when the two ultimately part ways.
But there's a lot packed into there, right? Because number one, there's who's less likely to be a solo star.
Sure.
But there's also who is lovable that the other person can be mean to them, right?
Yeah.
Like, because that's a huge part of it, is that you had to care for Marty Jannetty to care about him getting his face thrown through that barbershop window.
And who is more likely to be the one to super kick the other through a window? Like, this is, you got to understand that phase as well. And then, of course, who do you think could come back from that and be lovable again, 5 years down the road, right? After such a heel move, right?
So
I feel like if Ernie were to turn on Bert, there's just no coming back from that. I think Bert could super kick Ernie through a window, and eventually I'd love Bert again. Because he just, I don't know.
I feel like Ernie is the Jannetty. I think you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And also, hey, look, everybody looks at Ernie and you're like, oh, Ernie's the one who's pulling the weight here. You want to know what? You can't have a show with all Kramers, okay? Like you got to have the straight man. Bert is the straight man. He's actually a better performer. I'm going to go ahead and say Bert is your HBK. Yeah, Ernie,
Bert is definitely
is
HBK.
Your genetic.
Like, he's the one, he's the mastermind, he's the architect. He's the one who's got it all going on. Yeah, Ernie's just going to like go off on his own and disappear and then show up in TNA somewhere down the line, right? That's Ernie's future.
What is the TNA of like Sesame Street?
Like, all right, if Sesame Street is WWE,
yeah.
Like, what's your like lower tier indie promotion of like the kids' world? It's just like some random PBS show.
Oh no, it's Canada. They have to go to the Canadian Republic. Yeah, some Canadian CBC show.
It's like the Romper Room or something like that, right? Like, so, what's Ernie doing in the Romper Room, Maggle?
All right, I'm with you.
I think we got that one right.
Siegfried and Roy. Now, this one might get even a little bit too real.
Well, okay. Maybe in this situation, the Tiger is the HBK.
Well, no. I mean, all we really need is one cutaway shot to Siegfried just kind of like flipping a latch, right? You know?
Sure.
Or rubbing some steak on Roy's sequins.
Oh,
you know?
God. Was that the actual turn
without a doubt, right there?
Yeah,
Siegfried's the HBK here. Roy's the one who had to take the Tiger, right?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I think it did get too real. I should have thought about that before I put this one in there. Now, look, you'll notice like that there's someone here that you might go, these are obvious, right? But like what I wanted to avoid was something where it's like Jerry Seinfeld and George Costanza. Because like, come on. Like,
come
who's on. The Jannetty is obvious there. If anything, you do like George and Kramer or something like that, right? And try to figure out who it is.
Sure.
So we're trying to go for like where they're on fairly level playing fields here, and you really have to figure out, because before the Rockers broke up, right?
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of clear, but I always just looked at they were just kind of both the same guy for a long time.
I loved the Rockers. They were my favorite tag team when I was a kid.
Hell
it
yeah!
It was big, high energy, feathered hair. All of it. I loved every little bit of it.
The buck in the chat. Which one did the Tiger eat? He's the Jannetty.
Yeah, that was Roy. Roy got eaten by the Tiger. Right. Siegfried would be the HBK. All right, let's move on to something that actually has a bit of a tie to the news here. How about Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant?
Now,
teammates on the All-Star game last night after
their
acrimonious breakup.
And they actually did have a... They did have a moment where KD gave an alley-oop to Westbrook, and everybody went crazy. That was the only real big moment of the All-Star game, I think, last night. It was another boring, nobody plays defense, everybody just shoots and tries to windmill dunk the entire time. But I think we got to say, Russell Westbrook is the Jannetty, right? Because KD, like, him going to the Warriors was the super kick through the window.
I think that they should play the Oklahoma City Thunder should just play in the shattered remains of the barbershop window. Like, there should actually just be barbershop glass all over the floor that they
at the beginning of every game when the players get introduced. Every single game, Westbrook should get super kicked through a window as he's coming out by like some sort of KD lookalike, and that would be perfect, I think.
And to be fair, it's not because Russell Westbrook isn't amazing, because he obviously is, but it's like whenever they actually play each other now, like the Warriors just turn them to ash. So
the
it's
Warriors
like,
have beaten him by like 30 every single time, and KD has scored. I think he's averaging 35 against them when they play. And Westbrook is trying his best, and now, you know, he's getting into screaming matches on the court with KD. I mean, it's just a mess now.
It's a problem.
And you've also got every time they interview Westbrook, it's very clear that he is super hurt. And KD, when they interview him, he's kind of like, well, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll talk to him. Maybe I won't. I don't know. Whatever. He's like he's the heel now, right? So it was definitely a heel turn when he went to the
Warriors. Definitely the one that's like, hey man, we're all adults. Can we just move on? Like, sure. I don't know why everybody's getting so worked up about it.
Yeah, sure, I super kicked him through a window, but you know, I had to get on with my singles career, you know?
I know. Kerr's in his ear saying, like, oh, I think it was running away and cowardice. The ghost of Gorilla Monsoon says, will you stop? all right. So Russell Westbrook. Here we go. You are the Jannetty! All right, moving along. Milli Vanilli. Girl, you know it's true.
Yep.
You know,
Vanilli
you,
is the
by
Jannetty.
Way,
I think
you
want to
know
that
who
line,
the.
Right?
There's two Jannettys. You want to know
who
they
are? Yeah, I think there's actually two Jannettys here. This is the one time. First of all, they never turn on each other, right?
No.
Not
Milli
and Vanilli.
Which is why the real Jannettys are the guys who actually sang that song, who got denied a Grammy.
So both these guys are the HBK.
Both
and the guys who actually sang their song.
The guys who sang Girl, You Know It's True.
Are
they
the
are
Jannettys.
The real
okay,
Jannettys.
I like that. I think that's a good call.
They're the Jannettys. You are the Jannettys! Bill and Ted, Alex Winters versus Keanu Reeves.
So, I'll say this. Keanu obviously went on to a more successful movie career, right? But did he ever play a vampire in The Lost Boys? No, he didn't.
Stop it.
So,
stop coddling your Jannetty. This is as cut and dry as you could possibly say. Keanu
they say
Reeves.
John Wick is definitely the HBK.
Of course he is.
All right. It was funny is that in that movie, though, this is like the reversal. This is the ultimate, you know, reversal of fortunes, right? Because in that movie, Keanu was what, Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like the dumb one.
He was Ted Theodore Logan. Or was that? No. That was Alex Winters, yeah.
Okay, yeah, but he was the dumb one, and Alex Winters was like the leader, right? He was kind of the one who, and sure, they're both dumb.
I think they're both dumb. They were both dumb. Sure.
Well, yeah, but like Keanu was dumber in that movie, right?
I don't know.
This
I feel
was
like
dumb
that's...
and dumber. Keanu was dumber.
I mean, that's all right. Email us about that. JustinRobertYoung@gmail.com. Was there a smarter one in Bill
was
and
Ted?
Was
there a smarter one between Bill and Ted? I mean, yeah. Look. I think
Alex Winter was Bill S. Preston and Keanu Reeves was Ted Theodore Logan.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, exactly. All right. There you go. So Ted was, I think, the dumber one. Didn't Bill have, like, love stories and stuff? And
they
then
both
Ted
did. They
didn't
both
really
had
have
the princesses.
Oh, I guess that's true. Yeah. It's been a while since I watched that movie. I heard that it was teased they were going to have a new one.
Yeah, apparently it's been, like, in the works forever. But, here we go.
But Keanu's too busy, you know, murdering 500 people in his latest movie.
No,
so.
I mean, that's the thing, is that, number one, Keanu Reeves's WrestleMania main event with Stone Cold Steve Austin was The Matrix, and now his like his final big matches with The Undertaker and Ric Flair is John Wick. Like, that dude is just, he is so HBK, it hurts.
What is the biggest movie that Alex Winters has been in, by the way?
Oh, geez.
He certainly doesn't have like a Matrix type anything.
Alex
right?
Winter is a director now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So he just moved to he just moved behind the camera. All right.
No, he did the Napster documentary.
Apparently he did a Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure TV series at some point. What do you know?
No, I think yeah. Other than that.
Oh yeah, he's got 27 credits as a director. Wow.
No, he's a guy. He's like an actual director, and he is also the genetic. What else do we got? Hey, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. Who says the girls can't? Ooh.
Now, this one's a little tough, dude. This is rough. They've both gone on to do amazing things after SNL, right? And originally, I'll say this. Originally, I had in here Jimmy Fallon and Tina Fey. And then I realized.
No. The real heat is with the girls. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Parks and Rec is one of my favorite shows of all time. It's hard for me to call Amy Poehler a Jannetty.
Someone's got to be a Jannetty.
Someone's
got to
be a Jannetty. Yeah. Oh, man. See, I'm all right. In all the movies that we see lately, Tina Fey tends to play like the leader of the two, and Amy Poehler's like the funny, quirky one. But also, Amy Poehler's just funnier in all of them, right?
Like, she's a better performer. But
yeah.
She's at her best when Tina Fey is writing the scripts. I think Amy Poehler is the Jannetty.
Amy Poehler's the Jannetty, huh?
People in the chat room agree. Amy Poehler is the Jannetty.
I hate to say it, but I'm trying to find reasons why.
You are the Jannetty, Amy
Poehler,
you're
the Jannetty.
Amy Jannetty. All right. Luke and Han.
Luke and Han, dude. This is tough. But I mean,
so we are just doing the characters. We're just doing the characters here.
Yeah. This is not Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford, because if it were, then
it's Harrison Ford.
Here's a funny situation.
Yeah.
If you take the people and not the characters, the Jannetty is the opposite.
Yes.
Right? So this is just an enigma wrapped in a Jannetty right here. And yeah, I think you gotta say Han Solo. You are the Jannetty. I'm sorry.
Han
I mean,
Solo,
you got a friend in Carbonite
girl.
Just to test it for the real HBK.
You want to know? I'm with you, Han Solo. You are the Jannetty. You are the Jannetty.
Even though Han is a badass in his own right. The problem is, if Han had still shot first, I'd say he's not the Jannetty. But in the modern Star Wars world,
all right, Jim and Dwight from the
Jim
Office.
And Dwight from the Office. I mean, Dwight's the obvious Jannetty here, right? Although, you know, here's what's weird about it as you watch it.
Hey, by the way, though, who had the better career?
Well, yeah, Dwight became Mr. Manager, right? And he owned the building. He's got a beet farm. I mean, all Jim's got is like a dumb, beautiful wife and family. who cares about that kind of stuff? I'm still going to go Dwight's the Jannetty, though.
All right, Dwight.
He's just too goofy.
You are the Jannetty, Dwight. You are the Jannetty.
All right, we got a couple more here, and we're going to get abstract with a few of them. All
right.
After this last one. These are the last, like, real people.
Lennon and McCarthy. This one's contentious, bro. This one is contentious. But again, we're in Siegfried and Roy territory here because... I'll tell you what if in Catcher in the Rye, you know, there's that is its own little barbershop window.
I mean, I guess, but see, Wings makes Paul McCartney the Jannetty in my mind.
You can't. No.
Lennon never went on to be in a band called the Wings.
Because he got shot, son. I'm sorry.
Okay, but maybe that saved him from becoming the Jannetty. That's all I'm saying.
No.
Listen, I'm a bass player.
Okay.
And so I'm a Paul McCartney guy, right? Chat said John Lennon versus Joseph McCarthy. Yes, exactly. That's Lennon with an A-I-N. I would choose Paul McCartney like in a vacuum because I'm a bass player and his bass playing is like what I kind of based myself on when I first started out, right? Yeah. He was like the guy. He was like the first, like, he was to me the guy who made bass playing like you could play melodies on bass. It was dope. It was amazing. However, he then went on to, you know, sell like Beatle or tell Michael Jackson he should buy the Beatles rights, do that song Say, Say, Say with Michael Jackson, do Wings. And John Lennon will always be known for Imagine. I gotta say McCartney's the Jannetty in my mind.
John Lennon, I'm sorry, you can't be the HBK when you literally went through the window. He never came back from the window. And listen, it's harsh, it's ugly, but there's one guy who went on, and whatever you think about Wings, man, those records sold.
They did sell, you're right. Here's the thing, though. Here's the other thing. I'll give you this. McCartney did not have a Yoko Ono. And
well, not until later. I mean, you know.
But even then, he never had a Yoko. He never had the girl who he just, like, put on stage when he finally played with, like, some of his rock icons, right? Like, and then weirdly screamed and played a bizarre drum. That never happened.
Wait a minute, no, didn't Linda McCartney, wasn't she in Wings?
Yeah, but she was, like, actually okay. She didn't, like, something like, ah, like, randomly.
Oh, there is no doubting that if John Lennon survived,
yeah,
we would have thought about him differently, because the music that he was putting out by the time that he died is not exactly stuff that everybody remembers.
Heavily Ono influenced.
Yes.
I'll say that. Yeah, they got weird there at the end. All right, you know what? Look.
John,
I
want to
fight you on this.
Yeah.
But your facts are solid. Your argument is airtight. He did go through the window.
Imagine all the people living life understanding that you, John Lennon, are the Jannetty!
The Jannetty!
All right, here we go. Let's go abstract in our abstract corner. Bacon and eggs. Who's the Jannetty?
Bacon and eggs. Man. Now, both of them, not necessarily great for your heart.
No.
Or your cholesterol levels. However, if you're gearing up for a big fight, if you're a boxer, you drink the raw eggs, right? But do you ever see scenes of Rocky just, like, slamming down a big side of raw bacon?
Yo, Adrian, get me, make sure that I can get some strips.
That being said, bacon is goddamn delicious, right?
Bacon's the HBK. Come on.
Yeah.
You just hear it sizzling in the pan. It's doing the HBK like pop, 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 pop.
Also, let's just break it down to actual semantics here.
Yeah.
Bacon is the heartbreak kid because it does cause your heart to break.
You know what, Red?
You gotta go. Eggs are the Jannetty,
you
dude.
You know
eggs
I sizzle. I'm in the pan. And the fad is flying out.
When it's popping in the pan, it's tuning up the band, right?
It is.
So, yeah, it all makes sense,
dude.
Oh,
dude, yeah. Eggs, I'm sorry, bro. You are the Jannetty. Peanut butter jelly time.
Peanut butter and jelly. All right. Now, I'm going to break this down like this. It's hard to pair jelly with something that's not peanut butter.
Yeah.
But with peanut butter, you can pair that with, like, chocolate. You can. My dog loves some peanut butter just with, like, anything. I'll just mess a bunch of dog food up with some peanut butter. He loves that.
Yep.
I think peanut butter, you can find a new tag team partner for peanut butter. But it's hard to find another tag team partner for jelly, man.
Are we including
jelly has to go on to a solo career.
Are we including all jams and preserves?
Oh, we throw all jams and preserves in one big basket.
In the jelly.
No, I think when we're talking about that, like, peanut butter usually just goes with, like, strawberry jelly, right? Or, like, grape jelly.
Just grape jelly, yeah.
Yeah.
I think peanut butter is probably a little bit more universal.
Peanut butter has got a bigger range, I think, you know.
Oh, Wally77 in the chat, though, says jelly donut.
You see a peanut butter donut around? Mm-hmm. Yeah, a peanut butter donut would
maybe
be kind of weird.
Peanut butter flavored ice or icing, but never really just peanut butter, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, peanut butter makes a better tag team partner, so peanut butter can go on continuing in the tag division Well, jelly kind of has to move out on its own. All right, peanut butter, you're the Jannetty. Fine.
Peanut butter, you are the Jannetty. Peanut butter, you are the Jannetty. Peanut butter, you are the Jannetty.
I'm the Jannetty. Okay, we got one more, and we're gonna get real here.
Yeah, here we go. You ready? You ready to slug this one out?
Yeah, we're going to slug it out, dude.
All right, here we go. Oakland versus San Francisco. I am a current resident of Oakland. Willie was raised and a resident of San Francisco.
Born and raised.
In the city. Make your case. Make your case, good sir.
So here's the problem for me. I'm going to make a case for San Francisco as a man who moved out of the city.
Yeah.
Which is a little rough, so I've already kind of got a strike against me.
Yeah.
And that being said, here's why San Francisco is the HBK. Because San Francisco basically just constantly is like stepping on Oakland's neck, right?
Sure.
San Francisco is like, oh yeah, you really got a cool thing going there with those Warriors, huh? That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
It'd be a shame if somebody took them away, put them in San Francisco. And then, of course, you got the Giants and the A's, where the A's are like, oh, my God, we went to the World Series 3 years in a row. This is pretty dope. And the Giants are like, yeah, it'd be a shame if we won 3 World Series in 5 years, huh? And then all of a sudden you guys were at the bottom of the heap. And then,
it's
of course,
also kind of odd that they're in the same media market and yet one team's really rich and the other one isn't. You know,
yeah.
Like, that's also weird, like.
When you go to a game, and for anybody who's never been to a game at the Oakland Coliseum and at AT&T Park, Oakland Coliseum has still got like CRT monitors up on the and when you're sitting, even in like the best seats, when you like look up and you want to see what just happened on the screen, they're like tiny old school 12-inch TVs.
By the way, the difference between going to see an A's game at the Coliseum and a Giants game at whatever phone AT&T Park, right?
Whatever current phone
Whatever
company
current
is sponsoring
phone
them.
Is,
sure.
You know, the T-Mobile experience is the difference not between first class and coach, but first class and the storage below the plane, like where
sure.
they keep
yeah,
dogs.
Yeah. Where your dog flies when you travel with your dog. That's Oakland right now.
Now
it's unfortunate because the A's deserve much better.
They do. They
not
have
to
a,
mention now,
a very poor
apparently run. The Raiders are leaving. So, you know, just forget major sports markets in Oakland anymore.
Yeah.
But now let's just talk about other stuff. Now, Oakland, I think, wins out in quaint, cool neighborhoods. I think Oakland still – and also Oakland wins in its ability to protest. You
sure.
guys crush us when it comes to protesting.
Oh, no. East Bay protests, definitely trying to instruct the San Franciscans how to really do it.
Yeah, because the San Franciscans protest where they go out and they're like, oh, there's not like a Pete's Coffee nearby. I think I'm just over this protest.
Well, I mean, the way
like,
you
it's,
stop an Oakland protest
world.
Is just by saying, all right, let's all go plan what we're going to protest out at Mission Dolores. And next thing you know, they're high. It's 8 o'clock and everybody just goes home.
Yeah, everybody just, you know, grabs a burrito and heads home. But I think it's really hard for me to ever think that San Francisco is not the HBK, mostly because of dicking over Oakland. Not because San Francisco is just inherently some greater city, but just because San Francisco is just more willing to dick over the other guy.
You want to know what? I'm as much as I want to stand up for my adopted hometown here. I love Oakland. It is to me the superior place to spend my days. However, you kind of can't argue with it when because of the amount of car break-ins. And we can even tie this back to the news peg because the Ascension and Heath Slater found out about the Oakland smash and grab.
They got robbed in Oakland.
You have to say the town with more glass on the ground is definitely the Jannetty. So I am sorry, Oaktown, but you are the Jannetty.
You are the Jannetty.
All right, everybody.
By the way, they had a true Oakland experience. I mean, much like I did when I came back and we were hanging out in San Francisco, then went to Oakland and I got punched in the face. And, so I was like, you know what? I was just here for the true Oakland experience. That's all.
God, what a weird night. All right, everybody, you can please email us, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Put a wrestling in the subject line, and we will read your emails. But before
I would love to hear what you guys think, and if you have any other ideas for who is the Jannetty. I mean, we could just revisit this on one-offs whenever things come up, right? So definitely.
Yeah. No, totally. All right. We of course, like to end each episode with a with our Melodica cover. Let's go ahead and hear. I believe this was our one.
This was the easiest one we've had so far, by the way. I believe.
Oh, wait, no, here it is. This, I just got to play this one more time, just because.
Just the beginning.
Just the beginning. Just the change. The change hitting the ground.
Now, does it sound like it's hitting the ground? It sounds like it's just going into a cup.
It is.
Like,
it
just
is.
Drop change into a cup and
just
then grab the melodica.
Drop change into
away.
A cup. That, of course, is when you hear the glass, that's your ass. The Stone Cold Steve Austin theme song. A lot of people got that one on Twitter. Of course, everybody send your guesses into at Justin R. Young on Twitter and at Willie Dills on Twitter. This is your melodica cover for this week's episode of 1-900 Wrestling. All right, one more time. All right, everybody, go ahead and send your guesses at Justin R. Young on Twitter, at Willie Dills on Twitter. Willie, what do you got coming up this week?
Mostly a lot of Hearthstone. That's basically the plan. But we're also we've been streaming live pool on my channel a little bit, and it's been quite fun. So we're going to continue to work on that and try to improve that streaming experience, try to get some multi-cam things going, maybe even have microphones and have matches going, and I'll be like, calling the action, as well as all week on my stream, you'll be seeing peppered in throughout my normal streams, Dill's Hearthstone League featured matches, where I'm casting the matches live as they happen. I'm solo casting them currently, which is a lot harder than I thought, but you can find them all, like, just whenever they get scheduled, I'll tweet about it, at Willie Dills on Twitter, but just twitch.tv/WillieDillsSF. But having a lot of fun casting those. Justin, if you ever want to come and cast one with me, that'd be quite fun.
Oh, I'd love to. That'd be great. Let me text me when we're done, and we'll set that up. But
I'll let you know for this week what the schedule's like, and if things line up correctly, then we could do it. It'd be sweet. Casting by yourself is like totally fun and doable, but man, it is tiring at the end because you just can't stop talking, right? You just got to keep going. There's no way to like bounce something off of or like help build the joke. You just have to nail it yourself. So it's good practice, though.
Now he's escaping me. Who, guys, I wanted to make the joke. Who is the ECW announcer? Oh my god.
I
keep wanting to say Joey Ryan because I have Joey Ryan on the brain, but it was Joey.
It's not.
Wasn't Joey? Was it
Joey Styles?
Joey Styles, right?
Joey Styles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joey Styles.
I just pulled him up, actually.
You don't have to Joey Styles anymore. You don't have to go one mic. You know,
sure.
I can come on. I'll help you out with the DHL. For everybody else, if you are listening to this live, The Contender, the game of presidential debate, on sale for today only. At the end of today, it goes off sale. Right now, you can get free shipping and our $17.76 priced base deck, as well as the 2016 expansion, for free with every orders during President's Day, because we are celebrating the birth of Abe Lincoln and George Washington. So go ahead and check that out, thecontender.us. And for those of you who like the games, just saying. Announced the new game is going to be called, at least now, is going to be called Action News. And I think you guys are going to really, really, really enjoy it. So go ahead and check that out. But until next time, of course, patreon.com/1900wrestling is where you can support this show. And we will see you next week.
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody but nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.